السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى من شزين القرآن الشريف يعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware with regards to the disloyalty, with regards to the cheating of the eyes, and that which the heart conceals. Yesterday we had discussed the importance of this particular injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the lowering of one's gaze. Now in this particular verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed the casting of lustful glances as a breach of trust, disloyalty. You say that this particular employee working in my company, I cannot trust him. He's not loyal. He is using the resources of the company for something other than what it has been given to him for. Or even worse, he is abusing that particular privilege that he has, or he is squandering the wealth of the business. Eventually, the employer will get rid of that particular, or he will demote him from his position. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. In another verse, Allah ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ. Didn't we bless you with two eyes? These eyes which Allah ta'ala has given us, it is a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have created a person blind with no eyes. And the person could not really turn around and say, Ya Allah, I am entitled to eyes, so therefore you have to give me eyes. We are not entitled to anything. Whatever we have, it is a bounty and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala has gifted us this ni'mat of eyes. And therefore, it only follows that we should use this bounty in the manner that pleases the giver of that bounty, that Allah who gave the eyes. It is only appropriate that we use those eyes in such a manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What would we say about an individual, and this example as a Maulana Sahib rahmatullah is to always give, that the husband gives his wife a mink shawl. He gives it as a gift, an expensive big mink shawl. Obviously, his intention is that the wife should wear this mink shawl, so she looks nice. But instead, she takes the mink shawl and she starts polishing her shoes. She polishes her shoes with the mink shawl. So how will the husband feel? How upset he'll become? That this wife is not even appreciating the bounty and the gift that I had given her. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us eyes. And Allah ta'ala wants us to look at those things which are permissible. A person can look at nature. He can look at the ocean, recite the Quran Sharif. He can use his eyes to study and educate himself. He can use his eyes for his daily activities. He can use his eyes to look at his parents. It is mentioned in the riwayat, that person who looks at his parents with love, muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala gives him the reward of an accepted hajj. What a great bounty and ni'mat. Just to look at one's parents with love. Unfortunately, today we find that the children are looking at their parents with eyes of anger and hatred. That this father of mine is becoming an obstacle in my way. He's not allowing me to have fun. I want to enjoy myself. But my father is preventing me and stopping me. And very often, on this point, very often those very parents are to be blamed for this. Now you may ask, how is it possible? But at the end of the day, the parents expose their children to these kind of environments. They send them to these kind of institutes and schools where these kind of things are being taught. Now the child is then indoctrinated. The child is indoctrinated. Now these are the thoughts that are being absorbed by the child. These are the ideologies and the isms that are being absorbed by that particular child. One particular student mentioned to us at a particular institute, there is a strong drive into atheism. Strong drive towards atheism. And some of these institutes, Another student mentioned to me, Maulana, what can I do? I'm in the classroom. It's supposed to be a Muslim institute. So he says, now we are big boys, we are all baligh, but in the class, as they say, it's separate. Girls one side, boys one side. But then the teacher that's teaching the boys is a female. She's not wearing parda too. So they know they, we don't need to practice segregation. So now these young boys, now the hormones are increasing, their desires are increasing, and now you put a woman in front of them. And then they mention their challenges. It's so hard, so difficult. How do we conduct ourselves? Now we have to give them advice. But when I'm telling my father, I don't want to go into that institution. No, you must go. You need to get get a degree and you must succeed in life and you must get a certificate and you must get a lot of money. And so now this is important to us. We haven't understood our priorities. So we give our children these kind of environments. We expose them to these kind of things. In India, the same thing used to happen. The Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned so many incidents that people used to look up to the British Empire. So they regarded it as a real achievement if they sent their children to Britain into the Oxford University to get an education. So the person regarded it as a feather in his hat that my son now has gone to Oxford to study. The one old man sent his son to study. So when his son came back, now he threw a party for all his friends. Fellow peers, they were studying together. So now at this party, his father happened to walk in. But now his father was a simple person from the village. He had his lungi on, he walked inside. So the friends asked, now who's this old man? So he said, no, it's my father's friend. My father's friend. In other words, he felt too ashamed. He felt too ashamed to even mention this to him. Another old man sent his son to Britain to study. So he got a lot of degrees. When he came back, so they asked the father, so what did your son study? What did he learn? So he said, I don't know what he learned, but I do know this, that before he used to sit and urinate, now he stands and urinates. Now he stands and urinates. So that much he learned. Another youngster also just arrived from Britain, but all the PhDs and whatever doctorates and professor in this and that. So he landed, and within few days, his father passed away. All life savings, he spent it on his son to qualify. So fine, the son came back nicely qualified, suit, boot and whatever else he could wear. 3 days thereafter, the father passed away. Now at the grave, everybody is reading, the son is standing. And it is mentioned that the son actually spoke and addressed, said, oh my father, today I'm standing at your grave. People are reading for you, but today I don't know how to read. I don't know how to read. Because that was more important for the father. Now, all the PhDs and those degrees, we are not saying that we should not go and educate our children. But we have to understand our priorities. Deen is always first. Never ever sacrifice deen for the sake of dunya. Never sacrifice deen for the sake of dunya. We rather sacrifice a little of dunya for the sake of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So the parents, unfortunately, they expose, like same thing happens in Taraweeh. We find the children are making such a noise in the back. Iftar time, the same story. Every masjid, this is the same announcement has to be made over and over again. Children are running amok outside, causing takleef to the neighbors. But at the end of the day, it's not the children's fault. A child is a child. A child will play. A child wants to have fun. It is the parents. The father is responsible for that son. The father has to take his responsibility. If he cannot control his son, so then you don't take your son to the masjid. First, train him up nicely so that he can understand that the masjid is not a playground. The masjid is a place where we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go to the playground, we will play. But when we come to the masjid, now we have to be serious. Let him then grow a little older. Let him become a little more mature. And we say, no, we must give them freedom. Let our children, let them do what they want to do. So then they make a noise and cause takleef to other individuals. You're not understanding this. In one particular masjid, the Imam Sahib was reading Salah. While the Salah was on, one little youngster ran from the back of the masjid and started jumping on the mimbar and doing whatever a child will do. So after the Salah, Musallis were trying to shout the child. So the Imam Sahib said very appropriately, he said, it's not the child's fault. It's the father. Why did he bring the son to the masjid? And if we are bringing our children, then make sure that we stand in one corner and put our sons right next to us so that we're watching them. Because nobody is going to watch our sons like how we will watch them. Now we have one mortar in the back of the masjid. He is making fikr and breaking his head and shouting and fighting. And then, funny enough, afterwards, when something is said to our son, then we confront him that you have no right to speak like that to my child. So now suddenly it's a different story. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. Our children are such a great ni'mat from Allah Subhanahu. They are such an asset. Such an asset. But we have to take responsibility and we have to, take advantage of the opportunity in nurturing and molding them. You know, spend time with our children. Bring them up properly. And then afterwards we'll be smiling. That this son of mine, this daughter of mine, is the coolness of my heart. It's the coolness of my eyes. And then when we close our eyes, subhanAllah, let alone smiling, the person will be laughing. He'll be laughing that, Ya Allah, what a ni'mat this is. I have left this world, but my son is is such a ni'mat. He's such a ni'mat for me. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding and the ability to bring up our children in the correct manner. Nevertheless, this ni'mat of the eyes, we said now the father or that particular, another point on the father and son, and this incident we heard from Hazrat Mu'inus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. At one particular father, he sent his son overseas to study the same thing. And those were the days of the telegram. The telegram, the older people will know how it used to work. Very, very short messages, coded and so on. So now, the father had given the son money to spend on his needs, so he must study properly. Now that son went in absolute freedom, no supervision. So he started having fun, enjoying himself on all the entertainment and the discos and cinemas and theaters and whatever else it may have been, and all vices and sins. Now eventually the money got finished. Now the money is finished, he needs more money. So he sent a telegram to his father that no man, no fun, your son. In other words, I got no money. Now that I have no money, there's no fun. And this message is from your son. So no man, no fun, your son. So the father wisely replied, too bad, too sad, you're dead. So the father replied this in that manner. So nevertheless, the father or that particular husband who gave his wife that Ming shawl, coming back to that example, how upset he will become if that shawl is being used inappropriately. Allah Ta'ala gave us eyes. There's such a great ni'mat and bounty. And then if we take these eyes and abuse it and use it, for example, to cast lustful glances, then this is a breach of the trust which Allah Ta'ala has given us. And Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran specifically, Allah is well aware. Allah is well aware with regards to the breach of trust when it comes to the eyes. So because the person, while he's sitting, he can be a mufti sahab, qari sahab, haji sahab, he can be a trustee of the masjid, he can be a first musalli in the first saf. But this one sin is very easy to commit. Quietly, the person can be standing right next to his father or his ustad, and he's admiring the woman that are walking past. Nobody will even know. The glance of the eye. So Allah Ta'ala says, fine, your ustad may not have known, your father may not have known, but ya'lam. Ya'lamu kha'inat. Allah is well away. Allah is watching you. So sometimes the person says, but it's very hard to give it up. But I think inshallah, it's going to be very hard for us to finish this topic, and the time is already expiring. So we make dua that much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to use this ni'mat and this trust of our eyes in an appropriate manner. And we had also touched on the aspect of looking after our children and supervising them and bringing them up properly. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ